Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive.
C-Mac with Orlando Franklin. We got some Magic Johnson. He's insane. In a little bit, Dalton Risner was awesome with us yesterday. And Mel Kiper's got him coming to the Broncos. That'd be cool. I don't know if he's going to make it to the second round. Shane Ray.
Third and about six. Here comes the rush. And down he goes. He loses the ball. And it looks like the Broncos have recovered. Denver will have it first and goal.
And it's the first round draft choice. Shane Ray, just relentless pass rush.
Is he going to end up with the Raiders, Orlando? He's out there visiting. Does Brandon Marshall and Shane Ray on the Raiders? Could you see it?
Yeah, I mean, last year, that Raiders defense had less sacks than Bradley Chubb had.
Well, they decided combined, to get rid of Khalil Mack, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think Shane Ray, he's young. He's a young guy. He is looking for a second chance. He fits the Gruden way, a guy that Gruden's going to easily be able to influence and be able to mold and put him in the direction that he wants to, because now Shane, the market wasn't there for Shane.
What happened with Shane Ray here?
Yeah. Injuries, man. I mean, when you get labeled as a guy that's not available all the time and just, you know, when you have a wrist injury, because I've actually had one of those. I had the same injury that Philip Lindsay had this past year.
Okay.
With the TFC and your scalp foot. It takes a while to really get back and really trust. You know, Philip Lindsay's going to be all right because he's holding that ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with offensive linemen and defensive linemen now, it's psychologically being able to trust yourself and throwing your hands and throwing that punch, because it took me it happened to me my freshman year in college, and okay. I had the surgery after my freshman year, but okay. It literally took until about my junior year to really feel confident in my punch.
Like, really?
And think about it. I do that day in, day out. Every play, I got to use my hands, whether it's running or passing play. The only time you don't get to use your hands is when you line up for field goal, the extra point. You just catch them in the spider web, put your hands out straight.
Right.
But offensive linemen and defensive linemen, there is so much that is behind your hands.
So you think it was just Shane's had a hard time recovering from the injury and just sort of lost the trust of his coaches?
Well, if you have a hard time, D-Mac, recovering from your injury, then you're not throwing that punch, and you're not as effective as a rusher as you once was, because you're not trusting, or there might be a little bit of pain still left in that wrist injury.
Just hesitating a little bit.
Yeah, now, I mean, with a game that's all about inches, it's so fast flowing.
You're not as quick.
You're not as fast. You're not reading it. You're not transitioning into your secondary pass rush move, and you're not as effective as you once were.
Does that show up on tape just during practice? Can you tell?
You see it in practice. You see it in OTAs, even when you're just going helmets.
Do you know it when you're going against the guy?
When they have some hand issues, yes.
You can tell.
Yes. Well, I watch enough film.
Yeah.
Like, I would go into games, and I want to watch seven games. That's what it was for me. There's 7 days in a week. Whatever guy I'm going against that week, I need to see seven games before.
Okay.
Unless it was a rookie and there wasn't a ton of film on it.
Right.
And you could tell, I mean, with Shane Ray and how he's how that injury has harped him, has hurt him, because even like when I watched Shane Ray and I watched his earlier film, even when he came in with that long arm, and that's when you go from speed and you try to put that, you see Vaughn do it all the time. Mm-hmm. He just puts that one arm in there, and then he tries to just bull you to the back. Mm-hmm. Before, it came with violence.
Yeah.
So Shane would come up the field and then he'd just literally go towards the tackle, now dip into him, mm-hmm. and just throw that arm in there. After that wrist injury, it was like he was placing it in there. It would come up the field, and then all of a sudden he's leaning in. There was no punch there. So that right there, you could tell he doesn't trust his hands.
So if you're an offensive lineman, and you just got to hold that guy just a little bit, right?
If I'm an offensive lineman and I see that, I know you have wrist issues, I'm chopping your hand. I'm making it hurt even more.
So if you generally chop and the wrist isn't hurt, you might throw yourself off balance or open yourself up a little bit.
Well, no, that's what you want to do. You want to chop. Anytime a guy goes from speed to power with that one arm, you want to chop, because if you're able to chop him, he's coming with that punch and that momentum, and you chop that down, he's going to fall on his face.
Okay.
So you want to chop, but Guys, it's a wrist injury,
yeah,
I'm chopping at the wrist. But typically, guys are going to chop at that forearm.
Just have to probably do that once or twice to make him hesitate a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
You do that. Well, you get him good one time. Oh, man. You're not going to see that move for the rest of the game.
Now you can just say, forget it. I don't have to worry about that.
And as an offensive lineman, I mean, you want to make a guy one-dimensional, and you want to know when you break the huddle pre-snap, and you're like, oh, this guy doesn't have this move. Now you can really play with him and have fun out there.
That's awesome. As opposed to you're going against Von Miller and it's his day, or like Khalil Mack against Michael Schofield.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you must have the opposite feeling, like, I am screwed. I can't stop this guy. I'm in big trouble today.
Yeah. And I never, honestly, D-Mac, I never really understood what Michael Schofield was doing. I think that the Broncos kind of really screwed up when they let a guy like Dave Magazoo, who was the offensive line coach when I was here, walk out the door. Because Dave Magazoo would give us so many different tools to go into games. And he would call a little toolbox, you know, this is what you do versus this move. This is what you do versus that move that the defender gives you. Now, I'm going to give you 10 different tools, and it's your job to pull that tool out as you see fit during the game.
Right, right.
And another big thing that Dave Magazoo would do, he would tell me when I was young, go talk to Von. Go talk to DeMarcus Ware.
Right?
Go talk to Elvis.
They'll tell you, right?
Ask them, what are you showing them?
Yeah.
And when I would do that, and Von would tell me little keys that he's picked up on me, and I'd work on those things. So, but what I would also do was I would go to Von and I'd say, hey, you know what? This is who I'm playing against this week.
Mm. And he would have studied those guys.
Exactly. He would see those guys. You don't think if Von is playing the right tackle for the Los Angeles Chargers,
right,
and all of a sudden Justin Houston just had a huge game against
that.
This right tackle.
Right, right.
Von's not going to look at that game film and be like, hey, what did Justin Houston do to have that huge game? So now he understands a little bit more about Justin Houston, but also the right tackle. But I would go to Von now and say, hey, I'm playing Justin Houston this week.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he does. Can you give me this look a couple times throughout the week?
Mm.
And I would literally bring my iPad to him. Like on a wet, no, I'm, you're laughing, D-Mac.
No, I think it's awesome. I mean, it's a great story.
On a Wednesday morning, I would bring my iPad to him. I'd be like, yo, listen, Von, look at this. Justin Houston just annihilated this right tackle. I don't want this to happen to me. So can you give me this move a couple times when we go against each other and team this week? I would say not one-on-ones, because you need to worry about you.
Sure, sure.
And worry about your craft and what you're going to do during the game. But when we go to team periods and it's the one offense versus the one defense, and you get about 8 plays a day in that, can you make sure that you just give me one, maybe two of these so I can feel comfortable this week? And Von would be like, yeah, no problem. I got you, oh.
That's awesome.
So I don't know. Now I leave in 2015, and then I see the game that I'm sure that Michael Schofield still has nightmares about.
Right.
5 sacks, and I'm just like, are you not? Like, Axe and Von, are you not going to the guys like Wolf? Are you not going to DeMarcus Ware and telling these guys, hey, I need to see this move
at
full speed? Because guess what, D-Mac? Any move that I gave Von and he ran it against me full speed, I could sleep better at night. Didn't matter what defensive end I was going against, because I done seen it from the best in practice.
That's awesome, dude. Well, you weren't afraid to ask questions.
Yeah.
Maybe some guys are embarrassed, or it's just not in their nature, or I don't know. Who knows, right?
I mean, you got 32 teams in the league.
Maybe they don't have the relationship with the guys on defense. I don't know. But who's
that? You
gotta
go against those guys every day.
Right.
How don't you have a relationship with them?
You tell me.
Like, I remember there would be plays that I would get down when we had D Ware. I'd get down to my left guard position and I'm getting ready to pull. And I'm excited. I pre-snap, okay, you know what? I got Brandon Marshall. I'm going to pull. I'm going to light Brandon up. You know, it's training camp. Get down. And D-Ware's standing up, and he's on Clady. And D-Ware says, hey, y'all, O's light. O's light. He's pulling. He's pulling. O's pulling. He's light. He's light. And I'm in my stance, D-Man, like, shoot. Like, I'm not trying to make eye contact. I'm looking away. And sure enough, I'm pulling on this play.
How did he know?
I went right back to him. after the play, hey, how did you know that? You need to tell me how you knew that.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, look, I'm looking at your back leg. I'm looking at your left leg.
Mm.
When you're going straight, it's pointed straight. When you're going, when you're pulling, that back leg is pointed out a little bit to the left.
You didn't even know it.
Didn't even pick it up. Yeah. And now I was able to work on my game because of that. So
awesome
it's
story.
Up to you as a Dave Magazu, our offensive line coach, didn't tell me to go do that.
Yeah.
Ask him. Ryan Clady, our all-pro left tackle, didn't tell me to go. Luis Vasquez, our all-pro guard, didn't tell me to go do that. Manny Ramirez, Peyton Manning, nobody told me to go do that, but it meant something to me. So I went and did it. It didn't matter if I didn't have a relationship with D-Ware. I was going to ask him because we all have one common goal. And that's to win a Super Bowl. So you're going to help me because you want to win a Super Bowl.
Oof, you're getting kind of fired up a little bit, dude. Good stories, man. I don't understand. Yeah, no, it seems to make sense. It probably to you is ridiculously logical because you've just done it. And I guess at the end of the day, when you see guys not improving or guys struggling, it's fair to say, did you do everything?
Yeah.
Did you do everything? I mean, did you do everything? And I think if you've done everything and you don't succeed, then you could probably sleep at night.
Absolutely. But also,
Or you could just blame other people.
Yeah.
You know, Foxy, I love Foxy. And Foxy, when it was a big press crowd, he wouldn't say anything. He's Mr. Cliche and skins on the wall and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, but there was another side of Foxy. I don't know what your relationship with John was, but he had a great relationship with so many people in the press, and I was definitely happy to consider him a friend. I still do. And he would sometimes talk in certain cliches, even sort of away from the big press group. For example, he would say, this is just like one-on-one. He would say, you know, when something goes right, you point at everybody else. When something goes wrong, point at yourself.
Yeah.
And this isn't him talking to a million people. This is just me and him talking. Well, like he literally believes this.
Well, first of all, I love that you got your Foxy impression down. I heard you change your voice right there. That was pretty good.
Hello, John Fox.
But he was big on that. He was like, hey, when you point one finger at somebody, you got four other fingers pointing it back at yourself.
Right.
So, you know, I'm very blessed that I was able to come in to the league with a coaching staff that I had because they actually taught
guys,
me how
yep.
to be a man in this league.
Yep.
And they were tough at times, but other times they were really good to me. And, you know, I feel like a lot of these players nowadays, they don't go at it with the same approach. I mean, when the Broncos were really good and the teams that I were on, that were really good here. You know, we're talking about 4 years AFC West champs.
Yeah.
We're talking about 4 years, at least the second round in the playoffs,
right.
Even with Tim Tebow. They had guys that would help you out. I mean, you talk about a guy like, literally, my rookie year in this league, I didn't know anything. I came in the year of the lockout. How was I supposed to learn an offensive playbook? I came in I met with the Broncos at
draft?
At the combine for a little bit. Didn't think that they were going to draft me. They draft me. I called Dave Magazu. I'm like, hey, what's up? He's like, hey, nothing. I can't talk to you because of lockout. Right. And he's like, hey, get with Chris Cooper, though. I call Coop, and he sends me, like, this little pamphlet on the calls. I call Clady. He big times me. Doesn't answer the phone. Then calls me back, like, the next day, and he's just like, yo, what's up? I'm like, yo, this is Orlando Franklin, like this and that. And Clay's like, yeah, okay. It was like, dude, why are you calling me? Basically is what he's saying. And then I show up for training camp because I don't have OTAs.
Did you not come here for the summer to do those like group workouts that Brian Dawkins was doing? And
No.
Because you didn't know anybody.
No, I didn't know anybody.
Right.
So okay. I show up okay. for training camp. They okay. kick us out the building because we haven't signed our deal, which was great because I never had to run my conditioning test. So that was awesome because we weren't so all rookies were going to have to run a conditioning test. And then literally the next day, I signed my deal and an hour and a half later, I'm starting at right tackle.
Crazy.
I don't know this terminology.
Oh, my God.
But I had teammates. I had coaches that got me up to speed.
Crazy.
And, you know, they told me, you know what? Hey, you got to pick it up. Like, we're counting on you. You're a second-round draft pick.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we didn't bring you in here to to take a redshirt year.
No.
We brought you into play right now.
That's right.
But it meant more to me. I mean, I tell you all the time, my rookie year, week six, it's like I never forget it. And I told him the other day, because I'm really good friends with Chris Cooper. Mm-hmm. I told him, I said, do you remember that game where you just stopped talking to me and telling me what the calls were? He was like, nah, I ain't do that. I was like, you absolutely did do that. He was like, but you grew up, didn't you? That's what he says to me. I was just like, yeah, I did grow up, but you stopped talking to me in the middle of a game. But that's what he saw was fit. That's what, because the first five games, he had told me what to do on every play. So mm-hmm. at that point, he was like, hey, you know what? I'm done doing this.
Right.
Like at some point, you got, what does it mean to you? And guess what? After he stopped talking to me that game, D-Mac, you think I ever asked him another question that year of who I got? I got in my playbook and I learned who I got. And that's the thing with the Broncos right now, you know, and that's what's got to be encouraging with Vic Fangio,
Scangarello, Munchak. It does feel
different. You know, Donatello.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are going to hold these guys accountable.
Yeah.
How accountable were these guys really last year with Vance Joseph?
Not at all.
How accountable was Case Keenum last year? I mean, last year after the Browns game, Case Keenum was asked the question, what happened? Well, they played a different form of cover two. What? Well, we're paying you, the Broncos are paying you $18 million to know every former cover two. Hmm. Don't tell me it was a different former cover two. You should know exactly what they did. You should know where you're going with the ball. So how much, what does it really mean to you? So they brought in a good coaching staff. They're going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're hearing all these reports on how great it is and how guys are showing up. Well, I want to see how they show up here in minicamp here in a couple weeks.
You know, I did love when Wolf said, everybody shows up 5 minutes early in the beginning. Big deal. Everybody does that.
That's the thing. You don't think in 2011 when John Fox was the new head coach of the Denver Broncos, you don't think we were all in that meeting, that first team meeting
well,
5 minutes
we
early?
We're all here. Five, it's, you know.
In 2015 when all of a sudden when Gary Kubiak comes in, you don't think everybody was early to that meeting?
We're all here.
Even when VJ came in, you don't think everybody was early to the first meeting?
Yeah. But
it's how it goes on after.
Right.
Don't talk to me about the first week in these meetings. Okay, that's cool. I want to see how disciplined are you guys on the field?
Well, this is death by inches. That's another cliche, too, but I like that one, too. You know, I'll never forget being at the Super Bowl when the Falcons were in, and Dan Quinn was talking to the media, and one of the comments he said is...
You were at that Super Bowl? I was there, too.
There you go.
Fun little fact real quick. Sorry, yes. I don't mean
no,
to cut
that's
you
okay.
off.
Yeah.
That is the only football game I have ever been to that I haven't played in.
That's all right.
In the NFL.
That's fun.
Yeah.
You saw a good game. Oh, no, wait. Well, you won the Falcons, right.
Yeah,
you
were my father-in-law goes right, for the Falcons.
Right. Yeah. You saw an awful game.
Yeah.
But during the week, Dan Quinn said, we like bumper sticker slogans. We try to provide this for our players because we want something that everybody can just sort of connect with. And I thought, well, isn't that smart and simple and, you know, that sort of thing? And I know the Broncos have done it over the years. I've seen the T-shirts and everybody kind of, you know, I got it. But can you really emphasize it and have everybody buy in?
Yeah.
And when Peyton left, there was this, there still has been this crazy void of leadership.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was really critical of Emmanuel Sanders, it was right around that time. Because, to me, he should have been, in my opinion.
He should have been the guy that stepped
well, that's
in
what
immediately
I thought.
And been that leader
and
of the team.
And I just saw too many incidents, and he was never bad on the field.
Yeah.
But there were just moments that I saw that he's just not rising to that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And then the Broncos had to make a big freaking decision. Because the decision was, do we pay Emmanuel Sanders or not?
Yeah.
And in my opinion, at the time, was no. Like, it's just not working. He's the wrong, loudest voice in that locker room. This is not right.
Yeah.
They paid him the money, and I'm like, okay, well, now you paid him the money. You paid him a $33 million three-year deal. He's on the final year of it. And frankly, my criticism of Emmanuel Sanders like last year was like no criticism. He'd already got the contract. The team was terrible. He got hurt. You know, you have Case Keenum. He's got to fill that role. I was way more critical of Case Keenum than Emmanuel Sanders because you had that guy. I mean, Emmanuel wasn't even voted a captain. In fact, Demaryius, who had been voted a captain, all of a sudden wasn't voted a captain.
Yeah.
Now, I got no beefs with Matt Paradis. He probably deserved to be a captain even before that, right?
Yeah.
But your captains were Matt Paradis and Case Keenum.
Well, that whole captain situation, it's a slanted voted process, I'll tell you that. And I could see the Broncos, I could see, you know, people stepping in and saying, even if DT was voted, even if Emmanuel was voted, I could see, you know, some coaches, maybe some upper management saying, hey, you know what? We just spent all this money on this quarterback. You know, let's vote him. You know, he's automatic.
Well, dude, Trevor Siemian got named a captain. I mean, give me a break.
A quarterback, right? And I'm looking at it as, hey, you know what? Matt Paradis is a guy that we want here. You know, we're probably going to try to lowball him, you know, and try to get him at a hometown discount.
Let's make Matt the captain.
Let's make Matt the captain.
It felt weird from the get-go. Like, Todd Davis is a captain instead of Chris Harris or Derek Wolfe
or Brandon Marshall
Really?
No.
Todd, nothing against Todd Davis. Seems like a nice enough guy.
Yeah.
But are you kidding me? Really?
Yeah.
Anyway, you could tell that there have been these things over the years. I'm going to tell you this right now. If they do give Emmanuel the 8.5, he's on the team, it's all good. If he's not the captain, I think that's ridiculous. I mean, if that guy isn't the biggest leader on that offense, and Flacco too, obviously.
Yeah, I think it would be Joe Flacco and Emmanuel Sanders this year.
It better be.
It shouldn't be anybody else.
I mean, to be honest.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree.
And I do believe. How about this for a positive with Emmanuel? I think he wants to play. I think he's motivated by certain doubts because of his injury. If he was healthy, what we're talking about with Chris Harris, no doubt would be going on with Emmanuel. And he would be well within his rights to say, I'm in the last year of my deal. Let's do, you know, him and Chris would be almost in the identical same position. And they would both have a case. And I bet you anything, this would be an issue with Emmanuel moving forward. It's not now. He knows he doesn't have the leverage. Yeah. It just is. He has to make the team. And he knows that. The Broncos know that. So he's in a different world. But I hope, for the benefit of this team, that he comes back healthy. He is a leader like he's never led before. Because it would be great for the younger guys to have a guy like Emmanuel like that. And I just hope that Flacco comes in here selling his T-shirts, got his Phil Long sponsorship, that he comes in and he can sort of gather everybody as well. And this really does mean something to Joe Flacco.
Yeah, it would be great for both of those guys. I mean, Joe Flacco has something to prove as a player. I mean, you saw it in his press conference. He came in immediately and said, hey, you know what? I got to prove to these guys that I can play the position.
But guess what, Orlando? I bet we can tell right away if that's not happening.
Absolutely.
I bet within the first week of camp, we'll be able to tell.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. And that most likely will dictate how this season's going to go.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping for the best. And we'll let you know. We'll let you know exactly what's going on right here at 104.3 The Fan.
The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, everybody. It's D-Mac with Orlando Franklin. Wait, what is this one? Man for Man sheltering the storm. We're digging deep. We're going deep here. Hey, everybody. Listen how Magic Johnson quit.
And then I got a great life. I was like, damn, I got a great life outside of this. What am I doing? You know, I got a beautiful life.
What am I doing?
So I'm going to go back to that beautiful life. And I'm looking forward to it. And somebody going to have to tell my boss because I know she's going to be sick, but I know I couldn't fake.
Somebody's going to have to tell my boss.
Did you hear what he said, though? I got a great life. And then did you hear him also say, what the? And then he had a pause. He was like, hold on, I'm not at home yet.
Wait,
you know what I mean?
Here we go back.
Life. And I'm looking forward to it. And somebody going to have to tell my boss.
Somebody going to have to tell my boss. I got to hear the rest of it.
I know she's going to be sick, but I know I couldn't face her face to face and tell her. Even though I was just with her yesterday and we had a 3-hour meeting.
Wait. You had a 3-hour meeting with your boss?
Yeah.
Yesterday? What? All right, Magic, what else?
The direction of this great organization. And so today, Rachel, I'm free, my love.
Have you really not told Jeannie yet?
Is that Rachel Nichols? I'm only assuming it's Rachel Nichols. Maybe it's somebody else, but... Rachel, I'm free, my love. Were you in prison? Were you incarcerated? Were you hanging out with Lori Loughlin? And
did you see the season that the Lakers just had?
Is that prison?
I guess.
Well, it's just so.
So today.
Yeah.
Rachel, I'm free, my love.
Have you really not told Jeannie yet?
No, I have. I couldn't.
You could have.
But the one thing that she had in...
Wait a second. Sure you could have. How about during your 3-hour meeting the day before when you were talking about the future of the team?
What do you mean? You woke up the next morning. You woke up yesterday morning and was like, hey, I'm out. I got to sleep on it. He had to sleep on it. His decision wasn't made up.
It's like John Elway with DJ. He had to sleep on it?
Yeah.
Holy
he had to sleep on it.
All right, let me hear the rest of this.
Somebody she can trust and loyal to her.
Trust and loyal? You just quit.
Then I will be that as well. I've been talking to people walking here. We've been talking about next year, and I'm sitting there saying, I'm not going to be here.
That is the most insane way to quit of all time.
It'll go down.
Oh, it'll go down.
I mean, whenever.
That is the
it's a copycat world. So now somebody's going to be looking for a way to quit in even a worse way. How do I top Magic Johnson on how he quit?
Help me. I mean, how in the world could you quit any worse than Magic Johnson just quit? I mean, I guess you could just post something on Instagram. Yo, I'm out. And it's like you're in a beach or something.
We saw it this year. I mean, Vontae Davis. During the Buffalo Bills game.
Right.
He quit at halftime. So maybe that's why Magic came out with this. He's probably trying to one up Vontae. You know, like, what could I do to go in and be the guy that everybody's going to remember me as quit in the most awkward situation or the most awkward way as possible?
There are a couple, you can search it on YouTube, radio people who have quit live on the air. I mean, that's pretty funny. They're ending their radio careers. Like, it's not just that job. Nobody would ever hire you in radio, but there are some funny meltdowns on radio of people just going off.
Can I YouTube that?
Yeah, yeah.
See you later.
Yeah.
Just like radio meltdowns?
Yeah, yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, I'm going to do that tonight.
There's some funny ones out there. Back in the day, this is old radio stories. Back in the day, everything was on these things called carts. They looked like 8-track cassettes. It was tape, just like a song on a cart, and then you would have just hundreds of carts. Like, every individual song was on a cart.
Jesus, early 1990s?
It was when I started in radio, maybe till the mid-90s. You know, 80s through the 90s, that sort of thing. Commercials. All the commercials were on an individual cart. So part of your job in radio when I started is you're just constantly putting things in a cart machine player. Okay. So you maybe have 6 of them. So here's your song. Here's whatever, you know, power, whatever. That thing, and then your next song, and then you line up your commercials.
Yeah.
So your whole radio shift, you're just putting carts away, taking carts out, putting carts in. You were busy. It's not like these days where DJs just look at a computer screen that just, you know, runs everything themselves. Anyways, this one DJ, in order to erase the audio on a cart, there were these things called bulk erase machines, which was really just a really big magnet. So you would take the cart, you put it on the big magnet, the bulk erase machine, and you just press a button and you more or less erase everything on the cart. You did that because you only had a limited amount of carts and you just have things that would come over and over and over again. This one DJ decided, you got to think about this. This is all the commercials and all the music. This one DJ decided to go out on his last shift. He took the bulk erase machine and he ran it over every single cart in the entire radio station. Now, when you don't just run it through the right way, it's a magnetic.
That's childish.
And what it is like vroom, vroom, vroom. Like, it's not completely erased, but everything is vroom, 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 vroom.
Yeah.
So this dude bulk erased like 700 cars with every commercial and every song for a radio station.
Oh,
it would cripple a radio station if you did that.
Yeah. That's very childish.
Magic Johnson just one up that dude.
Nah.
This is worse than bulk erasing a radio station.
No,
it is.
They'll be fine. Think about how much time and effort.
Think
about how much time and effort had to go back into that back in the day. It literally crippled
Orlando. You don't just step up and quit three reporters.
I'm not saying what he did is right.
What's
D-Mac?
The plan for the Lakers?
Hey, they'll figure it out. I'm free.
Rage, baby. He threw a baby in there too, didn't he?
And then I got a great life.
Wait, hold on. I could have sworn there was like a baby in there. Hold on.
You know, this great organization. And so today, Rachel, I'm free, my love.
Oh, I'm sorry, my love.
Yeah.
Because that's how you treat reporters. You call a female reporter my love. I'm sure, like, there's moments where, oh, I don't know, Joe Flacco will call Mike Kliss my love at some point. Can you imagine Flacco? Kliss is asking the question, okay, my love, I'm going to throw the ball to Cortland Sutton, my love. Magic, melting down completely. Like, Matt, that's dating Magic. Magic, not only did he quit, he's back on the dating scene. Oh, my God. Thank you, Magic.
He's free, though.
He's free.
So he's happy, though, too. He's going back to a great life.
How did he build all those Starbucks and movie theaters, Orlando, if this is the way he runs businesses?
Mm.
By the way, it's another example. Being a personnel person, if you want to be a great personnel person, you got to be a nerd. You got to know the minutia of deals. You got to go scout. You got to go do things. You got to be a nerd.
Yeah.
You got to live it. You can't half-ass it. You can't Gulfstream it. You got to be down in the weeds if you're going to be great at it. And it's why the Nuggets with, like, Tim Conley, for example, are great now. Because dude's, I love you, Tim, that dude's a nerd.
Good nerd.
A great nerd. Jeff Breidich, great nerd. Went to Harvard.
Yeah.
There's nothing
wrong with being a nerd.
There's nothing wrong. The world is for nerds.
Yeah.
Nerds are dominating the world. And if you're not down in it, and I think this has been something that Elway's actually struggled with, to be quite honest with you. Like, when Elway admitted he really hadn't watched much AAF football, that's a bad admission. You should have been watching every game. How can you say, I haven't watched much AAF football, and then you sign Bosby? So, we'll see. But Magic, we're so happy you're free. This is The Fan.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Welcome to the
music went down.
I know, it's all right. There's only so many storm songs out there. It's a little tricky sometimes. The Rockies.
And he crushes one. A mile in the air, out to center. Desmond back on the track at the wall, leaping. She's gone.
Oh, wait a second. This is just the Rockies losing. Rockies did not lose today, Orlando.
Because they didn't play.
That's right. Oh, well.
That's probably good for them, though. They look
probably,
like they need
probably
a day or two off.
I would agree, yes.
I haven't. You know, in football, you see it sometimes when you see a Thursday night game, you know, that quick turnaround where you're like, damn, those guys just look like they're drained. Yeah. Like they look like they just need a break. Or you see a team that has like a week 12 bye week, and you know they just played 11 games, mm-hmm. and you're just like, man, this team really needs the bye week.
Let me give you something. See what you think about this. Because I've said I thought this, it never gets brought up because progressive ideas in the NFL just, and this would need a CBA agreement anyways. But let me run this past you. Preseason is two games. Stay with me. Stay with me. The season is 17 regular season games. Stay with me. You get two bye weeks. So you never play on a Sunday and then play a Thursday. Okay. The Super Bowl backs up 2 weeks and is played on President's Day weekend, where America, for the most part, has the day off the next day. President's Day, it's a national holiday the next day. You expand the rosters, maybe five spots. So 58-man squad instead of 53. Okay.
What day is President's Day?
February 23rd or whatever. You know, it's whatever it is. You know,
I'm
it's
Canadian,
that,
so I
third, it's in February. Third weekend of February. Weekend of February. Because the Super Bowl right now is usually played on the first weekend of February.
Yeah.
This would be on the third weekend of February. So think about it for a sec. And I would back training camp up a little bit. I'd give the players more time off. Frankly, I think the way they just do things is kind of stupid. Like, you do all these OTAs and then mini camp, and then you have this really long break, and then you go right into training camp. I think it would be actually better if you amped up the training camp a little, like, less time with this OTA stuff now.
Yeah.
And then you really get back together like in July, and you kind of do OTAs, mini camps in July, and you don't start training camp till the second week of August. But you do your training kind of more logically, amping up to training camp and more time off at this time of year.
So you don't get that long break between OTAs and mini camp.
Right, because it seems ridiculous that you would get yourself to a certain place and just stop. So I would give the players just more. See, the NFL doesn't want to do that because the NFL wants something going on constantly. They love this.
Yeah.
They love free agency into OTAs, into the draft, into mini camp, and then they reluctantly do nothing for about 6 weeks before training camp basically starts.
Yeah.
So my idea is more time off after the regular season. You amp up more closer to training camp.
Yeah.
You expand the roster by five spots, so you get five more jobs out there. And I'd be even open to expanding practice squad too, if that makes more sense.
Yeah.
And I would have more guys eligible on game day. I would say instead of 45, it's fine. I've expanded the rosters anyways. Let's have 50 guys available on game day.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna ask you guys to play an extra game.
Hmm. Okay.
What do you think?
Got two issues with it.
All right.
First issue being, you know, starting OTAs and minicamp a little bit later. I always, you know, looked at that break in between OTAs and minicamp to training camp, that 5 week break, as a time to heal. Because guys get banged up in OTAs.
Okay.
If you're a play offensive line, you play defensive line, you're going to come out of OTAs and your shoulders are just going to be ripped up. People are putting their face masks on.
That's my least important part of that. So if you say no good on that, I'm fine.
I'm no good on that. And, okay. I'm also no good on the two preseason games.
You think you need more?
You need more.
No, come on. Nobody plays.
I mean, it's to evaluate guys. You're really getting a look at evaluating guys. And as a starter, you know, you want them to come in. If you only had two preseason games, D-Mac, how do you do it now? I mean, the starters play in the first preseason game. You're just going to go out there and play a first half?
Yeah.
And then in the second preseason game, what do you do?
Play a quarter.
So you're
what
not
happens
even,
now? Look,
you're
look,
not even going to go
Orlando,
and come in out in the second half?
I'm not even making this up. Look at the total snaps of starters in NFL players' preseasons, and they're more or less that's what they're getting.
Yeah,
look at it.
It's literally, it's to get you back adjusted to it, get you back doing it. I mean, the first preseason game, you're going to get a first series. Maybe you get 10 plays if you go three and out on the first series. The second preseason game, they want you to play the first quarter and half of the second quarter. And in the third preseason game, now they want you to play the first half, go in at halftime, and then come back and play the first series.
It's dumb.
It's a nice way to ramp it up.
You're just Old-fashioned.
No,
old
you
fashioned.
Just can't just go out there and be like, yo, come on.
How do you play in Miami and all of a sudden you're playing Florida State in week one or whatever?
You got scrimmages in college. That's the biggest difference.
Then scrimmage in practice.
Oh, well, in college, way, you got 100 bodies. People can get hurt.
By the way, in the two...
In the NFL, you're like, oh, no, we don't want anybody to get hurt.
Well, you know what the real preseason is then? The first two games of the regular season. You want to see something crazy? Look how games are played in the first 2 weeks of the NFL season and tell me that really isn't preseason.
But do you think guys are going to have the stamina in the, after two preseason games? Do you think guys are going to be able to go out there? Because... I'm using preseason to get back in shape. Put a helmet on, go out there, run, see how I feel, up and down the field.
Maybe you should work out a little harder then. I don't know. I'm giving you rest before those stupid Thursday games. And you get two bye weeks.
No, I like that aspect of it. I told you I only had two problems with the preseason games. I like the rest part. I like the two bye weeks. I love the two bye weeks.
And I'm giving America the day off after the Super Bowl. All right.
Everybody would love that.
Goodell actually wants this, by the way.
Really?
They only want two preseason games. It's the NFLPA that's fighting back on it because they know... This is what Goodell wants. He wants an extra regular season game. We got to get out of here. I can hear the music. Thank you, Richie. Orlando, thank you, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me, D-Matt.
Enjoy the bomb cyclone. Good luck, everybody. The Drive Reload is coming up.